How are we doing tonight, guys? Feeling good? It's good to be together tonight. It is May. You guys liking that it's May finally?
Yeah.
This weather is hot. I was actually like hot today.
You are, bro.
I don't know if you guys heard, but it's supposed to snow next Friday.
Don't you
know? I'm just kidding. Rock me down. No, it's not. Hopefully not. Hey, who knows? But it's great to be together tonight.
Apocalypse.
And these last couple weeks, as we're kind of closing out the semester, we're going to be finishing our theme of grow. And we're going to be diving in tonight specifically to answer this question. And the question is, how can we live by the Holy Spirit?
All right.
So we're going to be diving in tonight to the Holy Spirit. And so get your Bibles out, get your notebooks out. I want to encourage you guys to come tonight to the scriptures with an open heart. Amen?
Amen.
And a humble heart as we dive into something that's a pretty big deal to God.
True.
But before we jump in any further, let's start out with a prayer here. Amen. God, you are amazing, God. And you are a faithful God. You're a God that does things for us constantly that we don't deserve, God.
Yeah.
And one of your most precious gifts, God, is your Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Is this amazing advocate, this counselor that you did not have to give us, God.
Yeah.
But because you love us, you have given us this powerhouse that lives inside of us, God. And just pray tonight, God, as we're talking about this topic, as I'm preaching on it, that your Holy Spirit would move, God, that your Holy Spirit would move through me to remove me out of the way so that we can better understand who you are, God, and who you are in the Spirit that lives in us, God. We're so excited that we get to study this out. We're so excited that there's clarity in the scriptures. We just pray that you'd be with our time tonight. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight's going to be an awesome night. The title of tonight's lesson, as you can see, is Together Living by the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important, that part right there, together, because this can't just be one person or two people or a couple people are living by the Holy Spirit. When this thing really takes off as a ministry is when everyone is in tune with it.
Amen.
And so the goal tonight is to really start scratching the surface of what is the Holy Spirit and what role should it play in our lives as disciples? Basically, what is it and how can we live by it? Amen?
Amen.
So I got 3 points for you guys tonight. Point number one is, it's a He. Point number two, He lives in me. Point number three, He sets me free. I'm trying to help you guys out with the rhymes tonight. It's finals week. Hopefully that helps you a little bit. But tonight we really want to see, how can we let the Holy Spirit living inside of us as disciples do the work that it longs to do? And to let this thing loose, to unshackle us from our fear and our sin, and to really rule in our lives. And to help us with that, we're going to start out here in John 14. Turn your Bibles over there, John 14.
Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark.
The first point, it's a He. That might make more sense a little bit. It's a He. So let's pick up here, John 14. And before we jump into the scripture, when we think about the Holy Spirit, what can happen is that we can kind of be afraid because there's so much false interpretation of the Holy Spirit and so many things done in the name of the Holy Spirit that aren't biblical. We can kind of be afraid to jump into this. And tonight, the goal is really to make sure that we're not confining the Holy Spirit just because there's false things done in the name of it. In fact, what we want to do is see, what do the scriptures say about the Spirit? And not confine it, but unwind it and let it do what it wants to do.
Right.
And so, because it's really a shame, and I think it's Satan that he's got all these, the denominational world and the Pentecostal world that actually gives something with the label of the Holy Spirit that actually is not even the Spirit in the Bible. And it's a shame because it turns people off from God. And it turns people off from actually receiving the Holy Spirit. So tonight we want to say, no, what is this thing? It's real, but what does the Bible say about it? Amen?
All right.
And so let's read it together. John 14, I'm going to pick up in verse 25. Verse 25. Jesus is speaking here. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Amen? And so we see here, Jesus clearly says that the Holy Spirit says, verse 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, he's using those two labels interchangeably. It says, whom the Father will send in my name, right? The Greek word right here that we see here is the word parakletos, okay? And literally this word in the Greek means, like, if you break it down, parakletos, from close behind. Okay. It's very intimate, right? And so the Holy Spirit is this, it's like this perfect voice of reason and truth, teaching you how to be more like God, helping you make godly calls, like having this really good advocate for justice following you around all the time.
Wow.
That's what this is. It sticks up for righteousness all day long, but the thing is that you have to choose to listen to it.
Right?
You know, it's really used in the Greek language when talking about court or judgment. And the word parakletos, it literally means a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call.
Wow.
Like it can't make a mistake. Like it's perfect. It makes the right judgment call. And so it's like God's coming off the pages of the Bible, perfect God, into your soul, into your heart and mind. It's like Jesus not just walking with you, but within you.
Right.
It's kind of crazy, right? So that's what this word in the Greek means. But in verse 26, it's so cool because it says the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of everything I've said to you. The words of Jesus, it's going to remind you of them. It's pretty cool, right? So it's a teacher and it's a reminder.
Right.
That gets me fired up. I forget things all the time. I was just talking to Kyrie. He forgets his name half the time. Like, it's like the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. It's a reminder, and it's this really like perfect being that wants to remind you of who God is. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And so this is something that's really key that we got to get. But there is more. There is more to this. Turn over to John 16, a couple chapters over. Again, right now we're really trying to define what is the Holy Spirit. So John 16, picking up in verse 7. Let's read here. John 16, verse 7.
I can't see. He's taking over my Bible.
Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, right? And we'll stop there for now. So, and if you, real quick, you skip down to verse 15, it says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
Right.
All right, so in this scripture here, we clearly see that the Holy Spirit is, it's a spirit of truth, right? It's a spirit of truth. And it says here that it's going to guide you into all truth, right? So it's a guide. And I think it's really cool that it says, Jesus says, look, this Holy Spirit, it's going to take from what is mine, and it's going to make, like, basically it's going to make known the heart of God, who he is. It's going to make God known to you. It's going to pass on who God is. It's going to be this guide making known the heart of God. Another simple thing that is honestly just in the name of the Holy Spirit that honestly I haven't thought about a lot until working on this lesson is, it's a Holy Spirit. There's many spirits. There's evil spirits, but this spirit is a Holy Spirit.
Okay.
It's perfect. Yeah. It is God. And it's a spirit of holiness that only leads to holiness. Unlike Satan, who only can tell lies, the Holy Spirit can only tell truth.
Wow.
right? It can only breathe truth, unlike Satan, who can only breathe things that are false. And our flesh, which follows the path of sin, which leads to destruction, the Holy Spirit, guess what? It leads to holiness. Because it's a Holy Spirit, it's a holy being. And that really fires me up, because I'm like, wow, I don't have to be perfect, right? God's not asking me to be perfect, me and Mark and my flesh. And that's why he gave me the Spirit. He said, yeah, you got a big job to do to change the world. I'm going to put Jesus in you so you can do this thing. Does that make sense, guys? So that's what God wants to do. There's this Spirit of holiness. And just to kind of summarize, these are all the things. Could you tilt that a little bit off the projector? So these are all the things that it does. It teaches you, it guides you, it fights for you. It's a perfect comforter, it's an advisor, a helper, helps you be righteous, reminds you of Jesus' words. It's a voice of truth, leads you to peace always. It's holy, it's perfect, it's God. Raise your hand if you want that following you all day long. For sure, right? It's like, can you be my best friend? Can we hang out? That sounds like a great being to be around, right? Turn over back to John 14. We're going to transition our second point here. John 14. My second point is he lives in me. All right?
He lives in me.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I was going to play that song, and I'm not now because you already sang it. So,
I'm sorry, dude.
And it's going to save time. But yeah. It's, when I was writing this lesson, I was like, I play Lion King. The lyrics are coming up a little bit. But John 14, we're transitioning. So he lives in you. We're going to pick up John 14, verse 15 right here. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. Lost my place, sorry. And will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We'll stop there. So, what's the kicker here? This scripture is saying that Jesus had to ask God for you to even have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that kind of crazy? He says, I will ask God to send you the Holy Spirit. Like, it's precious. It's amazing. And it says, basically, it's going to be another counselor. Just like Jesus was this perfect voice of truth when he walked the earth, the Holy Spirit is going to play that role, except it's not going to be visible. It's not going to be in a human. It's going to be invisible, which is the tricky part, right? Which is what we're going to dive into a little bit. But if we keep reading here, it says that he will be in you. That's amazing. That what we just looked at before right here, that's not just some distant thing that you got to travel to encounter. It says he's going to be in you. That being, that he, the Holy Spirit, is literally going to be in you all the time as a disciple of Jesus.
Wow.
And that you have, as a disciple of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God residing in you. It's incredible. And he says, look, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Basically saying, look, I'm not just going to leave you hanging. I'm coming back, but in another form.
Right.
I'm coming back to help you out, but it's going to be even better because you're going to be a temple of me,
right,
of the Spirit of God. And that's incredible. So, if we look here, kind of think about it this way. I want to break this down real quick. And that's what we are as disciples. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. So in the garden, right, Genesis is written to a people who understood temples. And what the Garden of Eden is a temple. And the images of the God, right, in a temple you have statues that are of the God. The images of God in the garden are who? Adam and Eve. So if someone's trying to know the God of that temple of the Garden of Eden, they look at Adam and Eve. So in the beginning, God was with us. We were with God, his spirit, humanity were one, right? That's God's vision. That's God's heart. That's where we see God's presence. Like the Garden of Eden, being with God in paradise, that's the Spirit of God, the presence of God. We keep moving on in the Bible, we see that the tabernacle is the next thing that holds the Holy Spirit of God, right? So if you wanted to go encounter of the Spirit we've been talking about. You got to go into the Holy of Holies in this tabernacle. You got to stand there, and then you'll be in the presence of God. Later on, Solomon builds this amazing temple with imagery of the Garden of Eden, right? If you read about that, and that's kind of where God lives, His Spirit lives. Jesus comes on the scene, and in John 1, it says He's going to make His dwelling among us. The word there is He's going to make His tabernacle among us. Like, literally, the temple that you just looked at right here, now it's going to be mobile. And now God's presence is going to walk around in Jesus, right? That's who Jesus was. He was God. He was ushering in heaven. And He, the Spirit of God, lived in Him. And guess what? You as a disciple, that same Spirit in the garden, that same Spirit in the tabernacle, that same Spirit that Jesus carried, you're a walking temple. That's what you are. You are a walking temple of the presence of a perfect God. Check you out. Right? That's who you are. What a gift. What did we do to deserve that? You killed Jesus. That's what you did to deserve that. And God said, I love you so much. I hate sin so much. You're going to be a temple just like my son was, just like Solomon's temple was. We're going to restore Eden through you.
Right.
Talk about a meaningful life. That's epic.
Right.
So this advocate, the Holy Spirit, right, as disciples, we read in Acts 2, right, it says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, right?
Yeah.
But that's when we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, this is what happens when we get out of the water. Maybe not visibly, right? But I'm just trying to help you guys out here. So let's really take a moment to get this. You as a disciple, you have within you the unmatched power of the Holy Spirit. You have within you the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You have within you the same power that created the heavens and the earth. You have within you the power that will recreate the new heaven and the new earth. You have within you the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Awesome.
Just bask in it. But I say that, and you kind of think, okay, so what now? Okay, I got it. It's living in me. I repent. I got baptized. I'm a disciple of Jesus. What now, God? Right? What does the Holy Spirit do for you now that you are in Christ, right? There's a lyrics from The Lion King. I thought it was cool because there's some spiritual parallels. Anyways, we're not going to sing right now for a second time. But maybe afterwards we'll have to sing along. So, but the question is, basically, now what, right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Come on, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're going to pick up here. Alrighty.
Great stuff, dude. Help me out.
I'm trying. Okay.
Yeah, bro.
Chapter 6, verse 11. Let's pick up a verse 11 in chapter 6. Verse 11, Paul says, right before this, he's mentioning basically the lives of sin that people were living in before. And he mentions that. And then in verse 11, he says, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Skip down to verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Okay. So it says here that the Holy Spirit, it's what washes us, right? It's what it cleans us of our sin. It's what justifies us, makes us righteous with God, gives us a righteous track record. But then it says it sanctifies us, right? It doesn't enter. So sanctifies is a big deal, guys. The word here for in the Greek for sanctified is hagiazo, all right? It literally means to be set apart. It's this verb, to be made holy, to be set apart for a divine purpose, a sacred task.
I love it.
That's what that means, to be sanctified. So the scripture is saying the Holy Spirit is going to set you apart. It's going to give you meaning in life. It's going to separate you and put you on a path for a divine purpose. And so God didn't just give us the Spirit just so we could be saved. That's not the extent of Christianity, being saved. It's the beginning. So God specifically gave you the Spirit so that you would be sanctified, so that you'd be hagiazo, that you'd be set apart for a divine purpose, an epic task that God wants to give you. And we'll get into that more later. And verse 19 says that our bodies on our own, they've been bought with the blood of Christ. As a disciple, you are not the owner of the house anymore. God is. You house God. You house His Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your bodies, right? So, we're going to jump in here talking about, basically, how should this thing look when we actually decide to live by it? And that's the third point here, is He sets me free, okay? Is that the Spirit's supposed to set us free from sin and to live this set-apart life that God has destined for us, right? So, if we look here, so the question is, okay, but how can I really let the Holy Spirit help me to say no to sin? So when we really believe that the Holy Spirit is there, like that it's there watching you every time you dabble with sin, every time you kind of toe the line, if you really believe it's there every time you do sin or you're tempted, it's kind of like being with Jesus, like looking Him in the face and just spitting at Him. Except now, it's not external, you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
Because He's in you. So you're not just hurting Jesus. Yes, when you sin, you're hurting God, but now you're actually defiling yourself. And so when you are tempted to look at that guy or girl that way, or when you're tempted with bitterness or anger or to curse or lash out, it's like you're going into God and you're defiling God. Like you're basically taking God, looking at Him, and saying, I'm okay looking at you and sinning against you right now. That's what you do as a disciple every time you sin. You say, yeah, I know I'm a temple. I know God lives in me, but whatever. I'm going to not act like I am right now and act like I'm not a temple when you are. And I'm going to deliberately hurt God. And that's why Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to convict you of your sins when it comes. It's going to rock you. And so, you know, that should convict us, guys, right? But here's our battle, if we're being honest with ourselves, here's our battle, is really believing that it is living in you, that He sees all that you do all the time, and that He's constantly with us. And what's going to help us to really believe that He is living in you? It's really simple. Reading about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Reading the Bible. The more you read about the Spirit, about what it does, the more you're in the Scriptures, the more you're going to be aware of it. It's really simple. And I'll be honest, this has happened to me these past couple weeks. As I've been diving into this topic and reading these Scriptures, I've naturally become more aware and more sensitive to the Spirit's promptings and its tugs. And I've been more convicted of my sin just by reading more. Like, I don't know how to describe it besides, like, I'm just more conscious of it now. Because I'm reading about it so much, I'm getting to know what's living in me. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
So, I think the question really is, it's not so much, all right, it's in you, but are you connected to it, right? Are you connected to the Spirit living in you? I want to give you guys a little illustration here that might help to kind of ground this a little more. So, a little story here. There's a young missionary, his name was Jackson. And he was given a car to help him in his missionary work. The car was a major asset, but it had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. So Jackson devised a system to cope with the car's inability to start. And when he was ready to leave his home, he went to a nearby school. He asked permission to bring some of the children out of class to help them push start his car. It's kind of wild, right? Throughout the day, he was careful to always park on a hill or to leave his engine running when he stopped for short visits. For 2 years, the young missionary used what he believed was an ingenious method to enable him to use his car. He was like, I got it going on. I got a system. I get the kids out. I help me push it. We push it down the hill. I got it going on. When poor health forced Jackson and his family to leave the mission field, a new missionary arrived to lead the mission. When Jackson explained to the new missionary's methods for starting the car, the young man opened the hood, began inspecting, and he said, "Why, Dr. Jackson," interrupted, "I believe the only trouble is the loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, Dr. Jackson used his own devices and endured needless trouble. The power to start the car was there the whole time. It need only to be connected. Are you trying to fight sin by yourself or with the help of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you straight up, if you're trying to do it with your own flesh and your own inhibition, you are not going to last as a Christian. You're going to get burnt out. God gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could conquer sin. Not just do a little better, but defeat it, right? So we got to be connected, right? So just like that wire, all that dude went in and says, inspects a little bit, he connects it, and boom, it roars to life. And so the same thing with us as disciples, we got to be connected. We got to be aware of the Holy Spirit living within us. We got to know it. We got to be sensitive to its promptings. We got to literally know the scriptures about it. We got to believe it. We got to let God convince us. No, I'm living in you, Mark. I'm living in you, David. I'm living in you, Calvin. And when the more we're convinced of that, the better time we're going to have saying no to your sin.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And so what does it look like to fight sin without the Holy Spirit? Here's some examples. This is trying to do this thing. You're that car that you have to be pushed down a hill. You have to get the kids to come and help you. Here's what that looks like. You don't pray a lot. You're just kind of not dependent on God. You have short, quiet times. You're too busy to be sensitive to God. You're legalistic. You're focused too much on looking good to God rather than focusing on who God is and getting to know Him. You're too emotional. You're guilt-driven instead of grace-driven and knowing God who He is. And honestly, you really just don't think about the Holy Spirit a lot. Like, it's not even just something you think about. That right there is someone living a life not connected to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's been me a lot of my life. And it's tiring. And guess what? God says, yeah, you don't have to do that. That's not the plan. There's something better. There's an engine that works, and it's in you. But you got to turn it on. You got to be connected to it. So an example of what it means to live by the Holy Spirit, not the flesh, simply look at the life of Jesus. It's that simple. Jesus, did he ever sin, guys? No, but was he tempted? Yes. He didn't sin because he was connected to God and who he was.
Right.
He's not a robot. He's not some superhero that came without any temptation. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. I think a great example of Jesus going with the Spirit is Gethsemane. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Jesus knew, I need the Spirit right now. I need God right now. He admitted that, look, this cup of death, take it away. But that's a moment we see Jesus' life is an example of living by the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus never sinned, and his Spirit is in you as a disciple, then that's some good news for us. That's some really good news for us. We can say no to sin too, just like Jesus did. His disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. I mean, they had Jesus with him, but this is something that we got on them that they didn't have. We got some serious power to do this, right? And so, our last point here, the last scripture we're going to kind of look at here, as we're talking about being set free, is Romans chapter 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. You guys still with me?
Yeah, bro.
I know it's some pretty intense stuff, but we're going to try to really apply this towards the end here. So, he sets me free. Romans 8. I'm going to pick up here. We're going to read verse 1 to 13. All right. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but what? By the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Let's get down to verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. This is a good chapter to just read on your own time to jump into. I want to specifically focus here on verse 2, 5, and 11. Verse 2, it says, the Spirit of life set me free. All right, so the Holy Spirit, it's intended to set you free from your sin. That's what it's trying to do. That's its aim. And that's who God is, right? That's what God's trying to do. And that's really the goal, that when we receive it, it helps us say no to sin. But if you look at verse 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires, right? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. So you literally, it's setting your mind on the Spirit. Like, it takes some work. Does that make sense, guys? Like, just because it's in you doesn't mean that bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, you're going to be good and you'll never sin again. You got to set your mind on it. You got to be attentive to it. You got to know the Scriptures. And you got to listen to it. Like, I'm serious about that. You got to set your mind. Just like you'll set your mind on some sort of career or anything that has a desire, God's saying, don't set your mind on that. Set your mind on the Spirit and what the Spirit desires. And that's going to set you free from sin. And, you know, I'll just share vulnerably. For me, I became a Christian my freshman year of high school. And honestly, most of high school, I was so insecure, so introverted. Like, me doing this right now would be, like, crazy. Like, I was that kid that had, like, three friends sitting at the table, and if those three friends weren't there, I'm sitting alone, and I'm not talking to anyone. Because I hated the feeling of being judged. I hated the feeling of having, like, I cared so much about what people thought of me. And my mind was set on people and not how God saw me. And it shackled me. And once I said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to care about what God thinks of me. I'm going to care about what the Spirit wants to do. And once I started doing that, I just stopped caring about what people think. And what I realized is, oh, they're insecure too. We're all insecure. Let's just all stop being insecure and accept the fact that we just want to be, we want to be accepted, right? And so for me, I've seen that in my life, like letting the Spirit take control. I'm more who God wants me to be. I'm honestly, I'm just more like Jesus. And that's not me. I didn't pull up my bootstraps and said, today I'm going to, by my flesh, become more like Christ. No, I said, there's a Spirit living in me. And Jesus, he would actually be social in this cafeteria. Right. And Jesus would talk about God with people. And Jesus would stand up for righteousness. So why aren't I? Because I wasn't listening to the Spirit. Right. I wasn't attentive to it. And so, imagine, you know, whatever that sin is for you, that chronic sin, imagine your life without that sin. Imagine life without being so consumed by what people think of you. Imagine what your life would look like without that addiction to pornography. Imagine what your life would look like without laziness just defeating you. Imagine what your life would look like with just having more compassion and boldness in sharing your faith. Forgiving that person that's hard to forgive. Imagine what your life would look like not being so burdened by anxiety, but more joyful and free and having peace that the Spirit brings. And what the cool thing is, is that God just doesn't want that to be a figment of your imagination. He wants that to be a reality for you. That's what he wants for you. The Holy Spirit, it's meant to lead us to this life to the full. It's meant to unshackle.